This morning we'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 28. I'll be reading from the NIV, but I'll be reading from the newer version of the NIV, as just the wording is just a little bit different. But before we do that, why don't we just ask the Lord for a blessing as we open His Word. Let us pray. Lord, as we open Your Word, we ask that You'll open our hearts. We pray that we will always hold Your Word high and with the greatest of respect and honor. Thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 28. Found on page 1841. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. As we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all our brothers and sisters. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. There's a story in one of my storybooks that's on my shelf that goes a little like this. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes had a reputation of being absent-minded. One day on a train out of Washington, Holmes was studying a pending case when the conductor asked him for his ticket. The jurist searched his pockets nervously, but to no avail. "Don't be concerned, Mr. Justice Holmes," the conductor says. "We know who you are. When you return to Washington, you can just send us the ticket at your convenience." Holmes lowered his eyes, shook his head sadly. "Thank you, my good man. But you don't seem to understand the problem. It's not a question of whether I paid the fare. The problem is, where am I going?" This year has come to an end, and a new one is about to begin. Where have we come from? Where are we going? Maybe not a question often asked in the church setting, but it's an important one. Often it seems that if Sunday morning worship is well attended, we have our children and youth ministry active, maybe the odd adult ministry, our budget is paid, the staff continues to do what needs to be done, then we're doing well. Is that the measuring stick? Let's hang on to that. Are we doing well? Let's just think about this year for a moment. We had baptisms this year, which we celebrate, which was awesome. We had Riella Bosma. We had Liam Tills, and we had Lyra Visser. We had professional faith, Liam Tills and Adele Seitzma. We had births, again, Riella Bosma, Lyra Visser, Jenna Sipkus and Theodore Sipkus. We mourn. We mourn this year with the passing of Hank Yantink, Jean DeLue, Gloria Vanderleek, Hilda Smead, Henny Wagoner, Tina Opstries, and just recently, Carol Van Dorp. What else happened this year? We renovated the sanctuary. The youth challenged the seniors in the shoebuck, and they lost terribly. We never knew how competitive the seniors were. During Lent, we had a series of The Table in the Wilderness. We started a mentorship program for those who were entering grade 6. In June, we gathered at church camp and watched as their pastors got their heads shaved. On June 18th, we were back in our new renovated sanctuary celebrating the graduates, celebrating baptism, professional faith. We have cake and honor the Kenya team. On June 25th, Pastor Harry preached his last sermon followed by a party. September, the youth went to Golden, British Columbia for a retreat. In October, we hosted classes meetings. These are just a few of the things that have happened over the course of the year. So we have heard a few things of what we have done. Let's ask the question, where are we going? Are we just doing? Do we have goals to attain to? See, the admin elders asked this question at their last meeting. Not necessarily using these words, but this was kind of the question. In light of the fact that we're spending more money than we're taking in, what should we do? They ask. But the question was asked within the context of not what shall we cut out to save money, but more of where should we focus our attention on? What opportunities are out there? A totally different perspective, a healthy perspective. Sometimes when there's a lack of resources, we begin to focus and to ask the question, where are we going? What opportunities out there? Being down in money focus forces us to ask the question, what are our priorities? When money flows freely, the question may never get asked, and we assume all is well. Here, just think about it for a minute. We are in this midst of this great opportunity. What a blessing. So let us turn to the passage that we read. Verse 12. Now we ask, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Let's stop for a moment and just think about the work that is being done in our church. We could use a number of examples, and I just picked one. I just said, let's look at cadets for a moment, because I know Steve would be okay with me picking on cadets. What does it take to run a cadet program? How many counselors do you need when you have up to 50 boys on a given night? Come on Tuesday night and just count. Go around, count the counselors. They don't mind if you stick your head in the door. You might be surprised. Did you know counselors need to be certified? Not answering a few questions and filling out some paperwork, but attending a day conference that walks you through what it means to be a cadet counselor. How many Saturdays do counselors give up for the cadet program? There are camping weekends, numerous of Saturday activities with other churches, Saturday project, for an example, of making knives at a church member's woodworking shop. And then there's the preparation for participation in Cadet Sundays. Actually, yeah, Sundays, two Sundays. One with all the churches in the area and one within our own church, which we'll have later. And then there's the cup car making and racing. And we cannot forget all the planning and work for the 2026 International Camperee. And then there's the Tuesday evenings. And this is just the beginning. And this is just one ministry of our local church. And you might argue, I picked the busiest one. Did I? Really? I'm not too sure about that. The Apostle Paul tells us to acknowledge those who work hard among us. Every Sunday, we gather for worship. does it take to run a worship service, to come together? Well, as long as there's a pastor, everything works, right? Wrong. 9 a.m., people arrive at church. Some drive 20 minutes. They have families. So at times they take two vehicles, or their children come that hour earlier and wait for an hour before church begins. Is that when the work starts? No. Musicians spend time during the week practicing their music. Often they pick the music. They look at the prepared text and see what song fits. There is significant preparation. However, there are many involved in on Sunday morning that come at 9 a.m. They're the sound people. Think about it for a moment. Without sound, there's nothing. And trust me, it's way more than just turning on a few switches. The PowerPoint, and remember, we need to get all the verses right in that PowerPoint. We have live stream, and then we have the children's message. Have you ever led a children's message? How much preparation is that? There's a lot of thought and time going to some of them. And then we have a guest pastor, and the elder needs to lead in prayer. One elder told me it takes them 2 hours to make that preparation. And then there's Sunday school. Not everyone's a teacher, and even if you are a teacher, there's prep. One teacher told me that she will not come to part of that first part of the worship service when she teaches because she needs to keep her head in the lesson for the kids. Is that not a true investment? And we can go on with Sunday morning, speaking about helping hands and coffee maker and cleanup crew and nursery and the greeters and the deacons, and maybe something that's often forgotten, decorating. And I'm sure there's much more that I have forgotten. We're not here to brag, but to acknowledge, as Scripture says, that those who work hard, and we could say this about all the ministries, people give their time and their energy for the church, for the kingdom. Let's acknowledge that because they care for us. Let us give thanks because so many people do so many things. We are blessed. It is good. Verse 13 and 15 says, hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. See, we mentioned cadets and Sunday morning worship, but not every element was mentioned with regards to these two, but it gives you a brief idea of how much work is involved. And with many different ministries in our church, we have many, and we could go talk about them all, but we will not. Do you want to know something else? All these leaders are going to make decisions. They do the best they can to make the right decision, not for themselves, but for the church community. Often they lay in bed sleepless over some of these decisions. The text says, hold them in the highest regard and love. But how often we are quick to complain about their decisions, especially when we don't see the whole picture. And let's be honest, we like to grumble and grumble and grumble. We are called to live in peace, the text says, with each other. Can we do that? That might be the hardest thing to do, to live in peace with each other. See, there's also some of us among us who are idle or disruptive, or as one commentator states, could be translators as quitters. Some of us are weaker. What are we to do? For those who have energy or are natural leaders, what we define as leaders, it can be easy to criticize. We can be bold and say, look at all the work I do. What is your problem? But no. We are to encourage the disheartened, help the weak. We are to be patient with everyone. Everyone. We are to lift them up. Remember Romans 12:3? For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We all have received differently from the Lord. We need to remember that as we look at each other. We've all received it differently. First Christian Reformed Church of Red Deer, as we move into the new year, live in peace with each other. Maybe that's where we need to go. Also, First Church of Red Deer, as we move into the text, let's look at verses 6 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. No matter what the situation you are in, whether you're on top of the world or in the darkest places, rejoice, pray, give thanks. There's always something to be thankful for. Maybe that too is where we need to go. Oh yeah, just by the way, I just got to ask. Kids, how are those drawings coming? Are they going good? You want to just kind of hold them up for a minute and see how they're coming? Oh yeah, look at, they're looking really great. Let us give thanks. Verse 19 to 22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. Don't suppress the spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. Keep only what is good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. We need to make sure that we do not hinder those who speak the word of God, and yet we need to test everything to make sure that they are the word of God. Check it out. Make sure that they're in line with the word of God. And when you do that, no matter how dark the culture we live in, you'll always bring light to the world that we live in. Why? Because we reject every kind of evil. The year 2023 is coming to an end. We can look at this passage within the context of this passage and know that we weren't always patient in this past year with each other. We didn't always encourage. Often we didn't live in peace, and frequently we grumbled, and that is true. But we see the good news. We just celebrated Jesus coming in the world. He came for you and he came for me. He came and died for our sins. He rose and he defeated sin. When we did not live in peace, when we did not encourage, when we were not patient, when we grumbled, our Lord's taken care of that. It is forgiven. It is a new day, a new year coming. Our Lord's forgiven us, calls us to be holy. With these words found at the end of our text, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify to be made holy, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. He will. Have confidence in this new year that God will sanctify you in 2024. Not just partially, but through and through. In other words, completely. Because Jesus Christ, who has called you, who has called First Christian Reformed Church of Red Deer, he is faithful. And he will do it. We as a church community can count on it. We can have confidence in that. And so now what? As I ask the worship team to come forward. So now what? In 2024, where are we to go? What is our goal? Well, we're here together. We're here together to lift our hearts as one. We're in the Father's presence. His Spirit is with us. So together, let us. It is good to lift the name of the Lord our God. It is right to give him praise. and thanks. For our Lord's heart is overflowing with his love. His mercy, that's right, our Lord's mercy, we cannot even begin to contain it. And therefore, let us each and every morning, each and every day, each and every Sunday, each and every time we meet as a ministry in this coming year, tell of his great love, of our Lord's faithfulness, mercy, for all that he has done. Let us know Christ and show Christ. So may the Lord be with you this year. Let us rise and let us sing thanks and praise.